The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, January 28th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer. Man, you got a lot of titles. Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Well, once again, this is the last time in January. I like to say Happy New Year to everybody all month long. So Happy New Year 2019. And to remind you that next month is going to be another Happy New Year. It's going to be the Chinese New Year. It's going to be the Year of the Boar, also known as the Pig. And that's going to be very interesting. Hopefully, I'm going to have a few people on during the month that are going to talk a little bit about what the Chinese New Year means and what it can bring forth for us this year. Well, joining me in the studio to talk about the Women's March in Petaluma, I'm really excited about this, along with some concerns they have around the LGBT community, are Amber Zolowski, I hope I got that pronounced right, and Zariah Garcia. And we have a beautiful little girl in here. What's your little child's name?
It's Tybee.
Sybee, oh my God, it's just, you know, that's what Women's Spaces is all about. I mean, it's just, to me, the fact that we have a child in the room is very, very symbolic of what's going on in our culture, that what we have to do is protect our children and protect the future. Also joining me in the studio will be Rhonda Black, who's a community activist and is presently producing and directing both the Vagina Monologue and 1 Billion Rising in Petaluma on Valentine's Day, February 14 this year. And I know it's going to be a love fest in Petaluma on that day. Also, you know, it's the last day of the month, so we'll be doing the Women's Spaces Pledge, and we'll talk a little bit about that, and plus always having some good songs. I know this is going to be somewhat of a lively show, and I'm also going to be repeating some songs because of the fact that I couldn't find anything better. I thought this would be perfect. Anyway, the announcements I have to mark on your calendar, of course, the first Wednesday of the month, it's going to be next Wednesday. We're going to have the Unshackled Conversation at the Arlene Francis Center in downtown Santa Rosa, and that's from 6 to 8, being presented by Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence. And I want you to know it's been one of the most exciting experiences I've had. Why is it exciting? Because a group of people, we sit around and we talk about our issues, our biases, our prejudice, you know, and try to learn about one another. And it's a very integrated group, very lively. We have African Americans, some Asians, of course, Caucasians, and it's just a good conversation, a good place to be. So that's going to be the first Wednesday of the month, and that's going to be this next week, actually. I can't believe this is the last day of the month. My God. I mean, the last Monday of the month. Where did January go? Is that going to be any indicators of what this year is going to be like? It's going to be fast. By the way, this is my last year in my 70s. I can't believe it. I mean, where did time go, right? Anyway, another announcement I have to mark on your calendars, of course, is going to be on February 14th in Petaluma at the Mentor Me at 426 8th Street in Petaluma, California, from 4:30 to 7. They're going to be doing the 1 Billion Rising Dance, which is wonderful, and they're going to have a bunch of workshops. It's going to be a grand experience. And also after that, they're going to be doing the Vagina Monologues, also at Mentor Me. And what's so wonderful about the Vagina Monologues, I have to say, is what Eve Ansler set this up was the fact that every time you do the play, you have to support a nonprofit. And they're supporting our Verity Rape Crisis Center here in Santa Rosa. And I couldn't be more, a big thank you that they would support Verity. They do a lot of good work in our community. I mean, a lot of good work. So that's going to be on February 14th. That's going to be in Petaluma. So that's going to be kind of a fun day, that's for sure. Well, let's get to it. It's time for the Women's Spaces Pledge. You know, I want to talk a little bit about the pledge. You know, I mean, I think about it a lot. There's a lot of conversations that go on around about it. When I went to the Women's March, it was very interesting because I took a stack of cards and I just went walking around in the crowd and said, hello, I'd like to give you my card. I always joke. I say, Oprah Winfrey has 2 million fans. I'm just at 454. In fact, I would really encourage folks to become a fan on Facebook for Women's Spaces. You know, it makes us look good when we have fans. But I was thinking about the pledge, and I just want to give you a little backstory on it. When I first came back to the media, which was about maybe 12 years now, when I retired from my corporate job and decided I was going to go back into the media again, I kept thinking to myself, I need something. I need something that people can identify with. And this pledge I had, which I've been doing for years, I developed for my grandson, Ryan. And it's very, very interesting. I'm looking at this little baby here in the room with me, and I'm thinking of Ryan. I mean, he was just a little baby, and now he's a father. I mean, it just blows you away when you start thinking about it. But he came out of his daycare center crying. And I said, Ryan, what's the matter? And he said, my teacher told me I was a bad boy. And I said, oh, really? He says, and I am a bad boy, Grandma. I says, wait a minute. Just wait a minute. You're a bad boy? Well, no, you're not a bad boy. Not in Grandma's eyes. You're not a bad boy. Not in a lot of people's eyes, you know. In your dog, we talked about his dog, how much his dog loved him, and, you know, that he's not a bad boy. And then he kept crying about it. And finally, I looked at him. I said, look, stop crying. Nobody's defining your self-esteem, because that's what's happening. You're crying because you feel that he, whatever that person said, was the truth. And I want you to repeat after me. And that's when I made up the pledge. And guess what? I did it for years with him. I took him to saxophone lessons. I took him to all kinds of outings. And every time we get in the car, okay, we're going to say the pledge, Ryan. And he would say it. And when he graduated Santa Cruz College down there, university, you know, he's coming down the hill. You know, here's this tall, beautiful young man, you know, that once was my little baby crying in the car. He comes down the hill and he's saying the pledge. And I said to myself, that's it. I'm making up cards and I'm going to have this pledge. And I started out making it handmade myself. But boy, after a while, I saw that I couldn't make too many cards at one time. And so then I went and I had them professionally done. And then I chose pink. You know, people ask, why are you pink? Well, the reason I chose pink is because in my own subtle way, I'm supporting Code Pink, which is Women for Peace. So that's why I use the pink card. That's why I put the pink cover on my poetry book. You know, that's why you go on the website, www.womenspaces.com. You'll see pink to remind us about Code Pink and to remind us of Women for Peace and that we are for peace. As women, we are for peace. We are for the future of our children. And, you know, I was watching something on television, something, some war or something, and I finally got the idea, said, if war is the answer, we would have had peace a long time ago. So there's got to be a better way. And I think the way we come to that better way is by raising our own self-esteem. You know, it's so interesting. We went to the movies and we saw It's a Matter of Sex, the story of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and when she won the first case for women's equality. And I recognize, I says, my goodness, at one time, women couldn't even own property. We couldn't even get our own credit cards. We couldn't get anything in our name. You know, when you start thinking about it. So we've come a long way, but on so many levels, they would like to push us back. You know, my theory is these guys, they're trying, you know, all of a sudden you see all these men signing papers, we're not going to give the women birth control. Really? You're not going to give us birth control? Well, try to take it away from us. Okay, you're not going to take care of our children. Well, we're going to be struggling in the street. Look at this teacher strike. What do you think that was all about? You know, people say, oh, they want money. Well, our teachers should be the most well-paid servants in our communities. They are the ones who raise our children. They have them longer during the day than we do. You know, when you start thinking about it, they are very important people in our culture. So there's lots to think about. But that's the idea about the pledge. The pledge is to help us become focused on the idea that we have self-esteem. You know, it's interesting. I have the two young women that I have in the studio. They reported to me this is their first radio experience. Well, perfect. Because what are you when you come on the radio? Oh, what am I going to say? Am I going to say the right thing? What are they going to think of me? All those things that go through our minds. Forget about it. Doesn't matter what you think of me. You know, Terry Cole Riddicker said it beautifully. What you think of me is none of my business. I don't want to know it. I only want to know what I think of myself. So it's very important. And the whole idea behind the pledge is to raise our self-esteem, to become aware. To become aware that it's okay to speak out. It's okay to be who we are. And sometimes people don't agree with who you are. Sometimes they don't like who you are. But it starts with you and liking yourself and knowing yourself. Because eventually, when you do that, eventually those who disagree with you, I can guarantee you, all of a sudden, wonder how that happened. Now they're agreeing with me. Why? Because you stood up for who you are. You spoke your truth, and eventually they're going to have to say, hey, if I want to be friends with that person, I have to go along with them, or I have to at least get to know them and understand them. You know, I mean, it's like I'm having great debates with my dear friend, Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence. And what we do is when we talk, we decide that we like each other and that our self-esteem is intact. That when she says something that she doesn't like about me or vice versa, we're writing a play together and we start debating different things. It's not personal. It's just debating and just moving on. So let's do the pledge. That's quite a lecture. I know that. I guess, you know, secretly, you know, I've always wanted to be a teacher. So when I get on the air and I have the last Monday of the month, I can do a little teaching. And I really enjoy it, to be honest with you. So let's go ahead and let's do the pledge. You know, and first I will say it. Just listen to me. Just listen to the pledge. And then afterwards, I will say one line, and then you repeat it after me. And I encourage my folks in the studio here to join me. And we're not going to do it too rambunctiously because we got this little angel that's just napping right here while we're on the radio. Anyway, here we go with the pledge. Just listen to it, and then we'll say it together. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. Just think about that. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And like I've said over and over again, whatever your higher power is, it could be God, it could be Jesus, it could be whatever you choose as your spiritual entity or whatever that gives you that that extra oomph. That's what I say. It gives you a little extra oomph. So let's say it together. I'm going to say one line, and then you guys repeat it after me, and then we'll go through the whole thing. Okay, here we go. One, two, three. My self-esteem
does not depend
on anything
outside of me.
My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Oh, is that not powerful? Does that not, you know, just think of it. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. That means when you go up in front of a city council or a board of supervisor or a friend or a teacher, you know, say what you are thinking and feeling. You don't have to say it angrily. Just say it. You know, most of the time our anger comes out because we're frustrated. But when you have high self-esteem and you're able to just say it, the frustration calms down a little bit. I'm not saying it all goes away. You know, you'll always be frustrated, you'll always be nervous. All those things really always will be with you. But it calms it down. I remember the first time I had to give a speech, and I'll never forget that adrenaline. Oh, my God, pumping through my body. I thought it was going to kill me. If anything, before I got on the stage, I was going to have my first heart attack. And this friend of mine said to me, "You're getting nervous, huh?" And I said, yeah. He says, do you feel the energy running through your body? I said, oh, my God, I'm ready to faint. He says, use it. Ride it. Let it launch you. You know, when I get on the radio, I have that nervousness. But it gives myself, my voice, a chance to project out. So it's very important to think about those things in that way. So I'm going to say the pledge one more time, and then we're going to go into a musical break. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Boy, you need a higher power when you're having a relationship with yourself. Man, sometimes that self-talk can be brutal. So you really have to pay attention to that. And I recommend, you know, say it three times a day if you can. And also, if anybody would like a copy of the card, give me a holler at Elaine@womenspaces.com. Or you can go online at womenspaces.com, hit the copy button, and you can make yourself a copy. But other than that, you know, give me a holler, and I'll happy to send you one. And also, we have them down at the studio here. And actually, come on down to the studio if you'd like to become a member, and you can pick up a card. I have one out there in both English and Spanish. So there's no excuses if you don't speak English, and there's no excuses if you don't speak Spanish. We have one out there in English and Spanish. And also, for folks who want to donate, go to our website, www.kbbf.org, and just go look on the right-hand side, you'll see a little clip that says donate, and there's perfect explanation. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's the clearest explanation I've ever run into on how to donate to a station. So that's www.kbbf.org. Okay, we're going to take a musical break now. We're going to be talking about the Petaluma Women's March, and we're also going to be talking about some of the LGBT issues that are floating around in our culture these days that I think these young women can address and maybe give us some ideas. But I'm also going to play this first song, which is I Am Woman by Pink Martini. I love that name. I played it last week when I had the Santa Rosa on, and I just have to play it again because it reminds us we are women. We are strong. We have come through. I mean, look at what we've done. I mean, at one point, you know, when I was listening to the movie yesterday, and when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was trying this case for equality for a man, very, very interesting movie, they said something about the Constitution doesn't mention anything, and she says, doesn't mention woman anywhere. That's what one of the judges said, and she says, well, it doesn't mention freedom either. And, you know, we were not free until the women's movement, until the suffrage movement, and right now the women's movement is alive and well again, because we know we have to be out in the street. We have to have high self-esteem and high-pitched voices. Anyway, let's go and listen to I Am Woman sung by Pink Martini. And when we come back, I'll be talking to Amber Zobolowski and Zariah Garcia. We'll be talking about the Women's March in Petaluma and some other issues that they are concerned about. Be right back.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend. 'Cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor, and no one's ever gonna keep me down. It only serves to make me more determined to achieve my final goal. And I will come back even stronger, not a novice any longer. For you deepen the conviction of my soul. Oh, yes, I am wise, but it's wisdom born of pain. Yes, I paid the price, but look how much I've gained. I am invincible. I am woman. grow. See me standing toe to toe as I spread my loving arms across the land. But I am still an embryo with a long, long way to go until I make my brother understand. Oh, yes, I am wise, but it's wisdom born of pain. Yes, I paid the price, but look how much I've gained. If I have to, I can face anything. I am strong. I am invincible.
I just want to jump up and down when I hear that song. But I love this. I love this arrangement by Pink Martini. I love the name and everything. It's just great. Anyway, welcome back. For you who just tuned in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my first two guests in the studio. First, let me introduce Zariah. Why don't you say your name so they can identify your voice?
Hi, everybody. This is Zyra Garcia.
And
this is Amber Sobersai.
Amber Sobersai. Oh, I got it. Amber Sobersai. And welcome, ladies. Welcome to Women's Spaces. Well, before we begin, I want to tell my listeners a little bit about you, and also that we are going to talk about the Women's March that happened in Petaluma last weekend. And also we're going to talk about some of the LGBT issues that you both are a little bit concerned about. And it just stunning that we have this beautiful young 15-month-old child just sleeping here while we are talking. Well, let's talk a little bit about you, Amber. Amber, she's a she/her is a community activist and organizer who works to empower people in Petaluma who are impacted by injustice. She is co-chair of the North Bay Organizing Project Petaluma chapter. Professionally, she's a trained scientist who harnesses the power of big data to improve fisheries management in the Pacific Ocean. She has the methodical thinking of a scientist and the spirit of an organizer. She is queer, loves spreadsheets, and she can be seen riding a bike around town. Well, welcome, Amber. Welcome here to Women's Spaces. That's a wonderful, wonderful description of you. Let's talk a little bit about you, Zariah. Boy, it's really beautiful, beautiful. Zariah is co-chair of Indivisible Petaluma and the North Bay Organizing Project Petaluma chapter. Zariah is part of the core group of parents who formed North Bay LGBT Families, a fiscally sponsored project of Our Families Coalition. What's the Our Families Coalition? That sounds very interesting.
Yeah, so that's actually in the Bay Area. It's a group of parents as well as organizers who advocate for queer families, such as myself. So we figured if we partnered with them, we want to bring whatever they're doing in Oakland and San Francisco and San Jose to Sonoma County.
But obviously, it sounds like it's a collective way of parenting.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, you need support. I mean, let me tell you, I'm watching with my great-granddaughter. I'm thinking to myself, I forgot what it's like to raise a child. I mean, it takes a village, really. Our Family Coalition, an organization representing, advocating for Sonoma County's LGBTQ1 parent-led families and their children. Her work with the North Bay families is a community organizer, activist, and vital support for the group's annual events. I guess the events are the Family Formation Symposium, the Family Pride Campout, and the LGBTQ, is that I or one?
It's an I
family contingent in the Sonoma County Pride Parade. She focuses on intersectionally within the Sonoma County LGBTQI family community and is dedicated to raising the awareness of queer families and their unique needs in rural Sonoma County.
That's right.
Boy, that's quite a mouthful. That's very, very interesting. And you're a mother also.
Yes, yes. I'm a mother of two kids. My oldest is 3 years old, who's transitioning into pre-K right now.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That must be an emotional moment.
It is. It is. I'm not going to lie. I feel like poo-poo right now because he's not doing so well. But so I think that's one of the hardest things that I feel like I've ever gone through with my son. So.
Well, be patient. You know, I mean, I look at my daughter and I look at my grandchildren and I remember all those challenges. You know, it just challenges. And if you just keep moving through them, keep working with them, trust me, it'll work out. And not get all, don't worry, like again, the self-esteem. Right. You know, oftentimes as parents, I'll never forget, I was at a standing in line at the supermarket one time, and my grandson, started crying because he wanted candy. And I said, I'm not giving you the candy. And so this woman started yelling at me, can't you control your kid? And I said, wait a minute, tell Safeway not to put candy here where the kids can see it. You know, well, don't tell me to control my kid. Come on, I don't want him to have all this sugar.
Right.
So it's very, very interesting. Well, welcome, ladies. Welcome. And what was your baby's name again?
Tybee.
And welcome, Tybee. Oh, my goodness. This is an experience for her. I wish I had my camera right with me today. Anyway, let's start with you, Amber. Talk about the Women's March. How did you get involved, and why do you believe it was important? Why is particular at this time? And in Petaluma, I know you had about 2,100 people that showed up. Mm-hmm.
That's right. We had our videographer look at the footage that he collected, and he counted how many people were going by and gave us that number. And we were, I won't say shocked, but it was really exciting to have that many people from Petaluma turn out.
How did you get involved in this?
Well, I've been working with Zyra in the North Bay Organizing Project, specifically in Petaluma, over the past year. And so when Indivisible decided to take on this project, she reached out to me, and I was really excited for the opportunity to work with the program component of the event as a way to think about what we wanted our community to be able to hear from our leaders and our storytellers. And so I got sucked in, basically, because I felt like we were missing a space for people's voices to be heard, especially the women in our community. And this seemed like a great opportunity to provide that.
Well, of all the speakers, what was one of the highlights for you? I know my dear friend Demetra Smith was there, and I know she's just wonderful, and she works with the Commission on the Human Rights Commission, and I know there were quite a few other people. What was the highlight for you?
For me, really, you know, we spoke about this before the show. The reason we're doing this is for our youth, and so we really wanted to bring our youth speakers into the event and to highlight them by letting them close out the speaker portion and then lead the march. And for me to see the students, you know, using their voices, they were so eloquent and just they had such spirit in everything that they were saying. That really, I mean, that's why I was there today on that day, was to see what they had to say to the community in front of them, and to see so many young people in the audience too, listening to the stories and identifying with what they were talking about.
Well, you know, for myself, as someone who's been involved, you know, has been an activist, it feels like most of my life right now. Probably since my late 20s and early 30s is when I really start getting active. And when I think about it, it's so wonderful to see young people out there now. And the awareness that they have is that their future is at stake, and they have to stand up. And that's where that whole idea of self-esteem comes. Well, Zariah, talk a little bit how you got involved. I mean, what is your passion here with the Women's March, and how did you get involved with the whole thing?
You know, it's I got involved basically the same as I saw it as an opportunity to create a platform for those specifically marginalized, underrepresented within my community. And just the thought of figuring out, I saw endless potential. And it was just really exciting for me to be part of that and start to kind of shake things up in Petaluma a little bit.
What was the highlight?
The highlight for me, I will say that I was very proud that we had a good number of LGBTQ representation of women. I mean, it's a spectrum from, we're all different. in so many ways. But for me, I thought that was really great to just have more more recognition, but more visibility for community to take a look at who we are and who are we. And I thought that was very important on my part.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when, you know, what tell my listeners this a little bit, what I have is I have my guests send me 5 questions. So I know I understand a little bit what they're into, what they're interested in. And it was really interesting that the LGBTQI thing came up because all of a sudden I realized here I am, you know, we're on the radio. I mean, we're hitting 18 counties here and how ignorant most of us are. You know, when you talk about the spectrum, I don't even understand the spectrum. I had to go start looking up. I said, wait a minute, I don't want to get in the studio with these young ladies and all of a sudden, you know, make them feel uncomfortable because of my ignorance. I mean, I think that's what happens. When people are ignorant, they're uncomfortable. So they make you, you know, everybody gets uncomfortable. So I thought that was very interesting. So I just have a few more questions to go in the march, and then I want to get into this topic a little bit because I think it's more important now than ever because there's so many divides in the women's movement. I mean, it always happened. It happened when I was at Sonoma State and we were at the height of the women's movement. There was so much division and so much debate. It was amazing to me. You know, there was the queers, the straights, the I don't knows. I mean, it was just one big conglomerate of women coming together. All of a sudden having choices. You know, people ask me, well, why are you in the I don't know? I said, because I never knew I had these choices. You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever put it in front of me. Now I'm going to find out which way I want to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my prerogative. So, you know, there's a lot of things. So let me just ask you one more question. Well, on these marches, you know, one of the things, I know there was a lot of controversy on the marches, you know, around the anti-Semitism issue. And I just kind of, I disagree with it. I feel there's always problems. I mean, we have biases. We're going to this once a month program called Unshackled with Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence, and we're talking about racism, and we're talking about separatism, how we don't know each other, how once we know each other, how much easier it is. So on these marches, how do you feel across the nation, why are they important? Why are they important to two young women like yourselves, and what kind of impact do you think they're actually having? I mean, I know they're having some. We've just put 123 women into Congress. I mean, you can't beat that one, I'll tell you. So what do you think is impacting? Why do you think it's important? And how do you think it impacted? Like you said, you wanted to impact Petaluma. How do you feel that took place?
Do you want to take this one first and then I'll follow?
Okay. So I guess, you know, we're just 2 weeks out, but we're already seeing people asking questions about how to get more involved in making some of the changes that our speakers were addressing. And some of those are related to discrimination in schools and lots of issues around LGBTQ spaces for our youth. And so the opportunity that we had to lift up the voices of these leaders in our community is that we now have a group of people who witnessed the speeches who are asking themselves what they can do to get more involved. And that's what we'd like to talk more about today.
So there's an awareness again.
Yeah, it was, you know, I had a unique opportunity because I was also part of the speaker lineup. And after the speech, people were coming up to me and just telling me, wow, I had no idea.
What was your speech about?
It was intersectionality between being an immigrant because I was undocumented. I came into the country illegally, Mexico. And being queer. You know, sometimes I feel like when I'm representing or fighting for immigrant rights, I have to tone down the gay, or vice versa. When I'm in queer spaces, sometimes I feel like I have to kind of tone down the, you know, the social justice piece. And I think I'm at a point where I'm like, no, I want to create like a bridge, like we're all the same. It doesn't matter.
Well, it's interesting, you know, it's interesting you use the word queer. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a little story. When I was 18, I went to New York. And the man that I ended up marrying had to go into the Army. And so he put me in an apartment house with all gay men, which I really didn't know. I mean, I didn't know that they were all gay men. And I just, you know, I thought this was kind of weird. You know, we're in an apartment with all these men. And I became friends with one of them. We were playing cards. And all of a sudden, he's throwing the cards back and forth. And he says, you know, Elaine, I'm queer. And I thought, what does that mean? I said, I know you're queer. Yeah, you know, I thought he was, you know, he was like a funny personality. What does that mean when you call yourself, I'm queer? What does that mean now in today's land, in today's world?
I think for, well, and I can't speak for everyone, but for me personally, when I identify as a queer person, it's not just, you know, lesbian or gay. It's kind of involving all of the letters together, LGBTQIA, because even myself, I'm still learning, even within my own community, because we continue to evolve. You know, it's not just adding letters, but it's also being aware and mindful of how other people are identifying themselves and who they are. And
well, you know, the blessing of the day is, because in my day, I mean, I remember growing up, you never talked about these things.
Right.
You know, it was under the, you know, it was very, very quiet. I mean, look at the whole story around Rock Hudson. I mean, just that. I mean, how you had to hide all those things. And today we're able to go out and to converse and to talk about that. So what was basically your speech about then? Was it about that?
It was basically saying, because when you take one look at me, I know our listeners can't look, but I have short hair. I dress in boy clothes. That's what I like to wear. But I'm always confused as a man when I walk into the bathroom, specifically in Sonoma County. It's like they've never seen a gay or a lesbian before.
Well, also, you have a child, too.
Well, you would think that, but then they confuse me as the father, as the dad taking out how sweet it is for a dad to take out the dog. And then they look, they take a second look, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, or they just think that I can't read that I'm going into a women's bathroom. I mean, to me, I find that a little baffling, especially when it's happening in my own community. And so then I basically was like, take one good look at me, because today we're going to redefine what a woman should look like. Yeah, like, this is me. I am a woman. You don't need to second guess me going into the bathroom because you think I'm a man.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting.
And it happens. I mean, that's the thing, is that it happens. And that goes with our other speakers, too, because racism happens in our schools. Discrimination happens in our schools. Like, it happens in Petaluma, in our own backyard. And I think that's something that we wanted to be like, wake up.
And I could just add, you know, we're talking about identity right now. It's such a complex issue. And what you choose to label it, queer, bisexual, transgender, is not so important as finding a way to speak about who you are. Mm-hmm. So you're going to find the word that is best for you.
Right.
And for me, that word is queer. And for a long time in my career professionally, there was no space for me to use that word or even to talk about my identity. And last year, there was a website that was formed called 500 Queer Scientists. And it's just a space for scientists to basically come out in. And even though I had come out in my life 20 years ago, I was not out in my career professionally. And so these types of things are what we need. You know, what we need in Petaluma is different than a website called 500 Queer Scientists. That works for me professionally. But we need to find a way for people to be able to talk about, like, who they are, and to define themselves as something more than just the assumed heterosexual that people might be seeing when they look at them.
So what I hear you saying is that people need to respect other people's choice.
Yeah.
And to understand it. And it goes all the way, you know, what's so interesting, no matter how you slice it, it all goes back to choice. You have to find out who you are, what you choose, how you choose to live your life. No matter if it's a medical thing, or if it's a physical thing, if it's a psychological, it doesn't matter. It's your choice. And as long as you're not hurting somebody, why the issue? You know, that's what I don't understand. And like you said, you belong to a community. Communities evolve mm-hmm. with like minds. So I may not go into your community because that's not my interest. You may not come into my community, but why am I against your community or why are you against mine? So that's what it sounds like. Would you agree it comes back to choice as well as understanding? The first step, it sounds like, we're back to that pledge, is that you have to have enough self-esteem to stand up for who you are.
I would add that I guess it's not just about this question of choice, but it's about recognizing that we exist, mm-hmm. and that we might need more help than, you know, the mainstream like version of someone's sexuality or identity. So in our schools, we're not doing a very good job of that right now.
Representation.
And I think you wanted to talk about the FAIR Act, actually. That was,
well, like,
that's an example of...
Yeah, I mean, there's a choice, but there's also representation. Like, how are we creating an environment that is welcoming and inclusive in our schools, in our communities? It can't be just like, oh, I'm down with the gay. Okay, well, what does that mean? It means that I'd like to see more representation of myself. You know, we just elected our first African-American on school board in 40 years. 40 years. Why is that? Why does it take 40 years to elect someone who's black? And yet our schools aren't being well represented to the community they serve. So that's, again... we got to push for that. I don't want just tolerance. I want to see more representation, more recognition, more visibility.
Well, I think you're talking, you know, one of the things that came up in your questions is the idea of Title VI,
yeah.
You know, of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And, you know, it was kind of interesting when I was thinking in terms of, when I was looking at the LGBT aspect of your questions, and your Title VI, I said, I wonder what Title VI has to do with that. So I want to remind people what Title VI is all
Please
about.
Do,
I mean,
yeah.
it's very important. And when you look at Title VI, one of the ways that I became familiar with Title VI was when I was going at Sonoma State. All of a sudden, there was a group of young girls that wanted to play football, or was it soccer? It was either soccer or football. And they wouldn't allow it because of women. And that's when this came. This is when Title VI really emerged, where all of a sudden people start looking at what is Title VI and what does it mean? Because it gave women the right to play in sports. So here's what Title VI is. Civil rights requirement. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, or national organization origin in any program or activity that receives federal funds or other federal financial assistance. Specifically, Title VI provides that no person in the United States shall, on grounds of race, color, or national origin, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits, or be subjected to discrimination under any program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. So it looks like it kind of ends somewhere. It ends with federal. In other words, when you go out in the corporate world, they can discriminate. They don't have to follow Title VI. Am I correct? I mean, is that how you read it?
Title VI is for the schools, correct?
We're by no means experts on these issues. There's a website called SaveYourSix.org, and they have some really interesting toolkits for how educators, parents, students can do something about making sure that their rights are being protected in the schools. So, you know, I'm not going to speak to the sort of technical aspects of that.
But what it's saying is that you have no right to discriminate because
right.
of race. And so... And or color or any of
right.
the things. So
yeah.
it seems to me that the definition, because when you get into this whole thing about LGBTI and male, female, it seems like everybody has their own little opinion, and it seems it has to be really defined rather than assumed. because that's where you get, that's where you have some of the issues that you're assumed. You know, what are some, you know, what are some ideas? You know, you talk about the young people that are, they're classified themselves as LGBTQI students and they're higher risk of suicide. What are some of the ideas that you have that, that, that some of this can be resolved or some of this can be supported?
Well, I've already talked about representation. I think Petaluma also, we voted for Caitlin Quinn, who is also a bisexual woman. And that's representing the LGBTQI community. But it's also policies. You know, like what I'm doing right now is, as a parent, you see forms that say mom, dad. Well, some kids don't have moms. Some kids don't have dads. Some, I mean, our family is just so diverse. It's, it can be two, you know, aunts, uncles, grandparents, two gay dads, two moms, maybe three parents. I mean, it's diverse. And for it to just narrow it down to on a form, mom and dad, I think we need to change that. And so I've looked into those preschools who have forms that say at least parent or guardian, because that's a step. And, you know, and that's something I'd like to see all schools do. And then there's also the FAIR Act, which is basically a law. Not a lot of people know this, but it's a California law. I'd have to give you what the bill number is. But it's having LGBTQ plus history curriculum in from K through 12th grade. It is a law in California. But are schools going to follow the FAIR Act? I mean, that's something we need to look into. Within your own communities and ask the schools, are you following the FAIR Act? Which, let me actually, just what the...
Okay, while you look that up, I'm going to fill in for a second. Okay. And one of the things that Zaira and I have been talking out, about outside of this interview is how do we actually do something about this in Petaluma? And I think a first step that people see is, oh, we should go to school board meetings. Mm-hmm. And we think about it as we have to tackle this from all sides. Like, we need to go to school board meetings. We need to go to PTA meetings. We need to set up meetings with our superintendent, with our principal. And by this we, I'm talking about everyone who showed up at that march and participated, everyone who couldn't make it but has the opportunity to watch the video that we put together and listen for themselves about what is going on in our schools with the problems that we have with discrimination. A lot of people think of Petaluma as a really like happy, progressive place. And our speakers were talking about problems, you know, suicide in our youth and students of color and LGBTQ youth who are killing themselves because they're not feeling a part of their community. And we have the power to stand up for those people.
Well, they're not only being a part of the community, but they're being judged so heavily. I mean, that's why, I mean, it's like you said, it's a real complex issue. But I really appreciate you coming in and talking about it and your foresight and also your willingness to stand up for something that you believe in and that you're taking care of yourself and the future of your children. Because for some reason, you know, somebody asked me that question. My daughter, I think, was we were talking about it. She says, Mom, why all of a sudden? I says, it's not why all of a sudden. It's always been there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've been, for some reason, you know, we've just never wanted to talk about it. I mean, it's in every family. It's in every situation. You know, there's always that one person and, you know, all the different things that go on. So, you know, this is an opening and it's a beginning. And the thing I can say as an elder, because that's what I consider myself being the age I am, just hang in there, you know. I mean, at one time, women couldn't even have credit cards, you know, and we had to fight for that. And it's the same thing. Is you have to stand up and let people know you're here, that you know you're okay, and that you're fighting the good fight. And not to stand down, but to stand up. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know. And that's what Women's Spaces is all about. If any message that I want to get across is that women, we have a right to stand up for who we are. You know, and I love it. I'll say it again. What Terry Cole Whitaker said a long time ago, what you think of me is none of my business. I don't even want to know. Well, anyway, we're coming to the end of our segment. I feel really sad. I'm glad we were able to do this because I don't know what happened to Rhonda. She's not here, and I feel bad. I'll have to give her a call. But any last words from each one of you? Any website you'd like folks to go to? Or
Yeah, I'll just go ahead and do the FAIR Act, actually, if people want to really look into it. It's the Fair, Accurate, Inclusive, and Respectful Education Act. It's Senate Bill 48. I encourage people to please look at that and ask your school boards, are you doing this in our schools?
I would just encourage people who weren't able to attend to find our video and get a sense of the issues that we're talking about going on in Petaluma.
You know, and for people who are listening who think maybe this isn't their issue, they're not going to show up. Well, you know, it is your issue because your children are going to school with diverse people. You got to understand it. I mean, it takes a village. It takes all
accomplices.
Of us.
Mm-hmm.
To quote Demetra Smith, we want accomplices. to get the job done. Yeah. You know?
Right, exactly. You need team players. Yeah. You know, you need a team. Well, any websites or anything you'd like
sure,
to send you to?
Sure. So the Women's March in Petaluma was organized by a group called Indivisible Petaluma, and they have a Facebook group and a Facebook page. And the video is posted at the top of the Facebook page for Indivisible Petaluma.
And what video is that?
It's a full-length video of our speakers. We had professional sound and video. So it's an hour and a half, and you can hear what everyone had to say.
Oh, my good. That is wonderful. Well, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for being here, and I want to thank this beautiful child. My goodness, she's still sleeping. I'll tell you, you must be doing something right that you can have a child come in here and sit in your arms, and you just rock her, and she sleeps.
I mean, that's what I'm doing this for. I mean, I'm honestly doing this for them so they don't feel like they don't belong.
No. You know, I'll tell you, that's one thing I think the three of us have in common here. I think what spurs us is the fact that we have felt like we didn't belong, and we want to belong. We want to be heard, we want to be seen, mm-hmm. and we want to be respected.
Exactly, mm-hmm. yeah.
So thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, what a show, ladies and gentlemen out there listening. You know, I just feel really blessed to have these young women in here and to talk about this subject, you know. And, you know, if you have any thoughts on it or you want to email me or, you know, even debate me when I have a guest on the air that maybe you agree or disagree, you know, give me a compliment or give me a statement that you don't agree or disagree or whatever you're feeling at Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, at Women's, womensspaces.com. Well, we got a little bit of time here, and I'm really sorry. I was going to have Rhonda Black on. We were going to talk about the vagina monologues happening here in Petaluma. But before we go to do that, you know, it's really interesting. It's really interesting when you're looking at the Petaluma Women's March that happened on January 19th. You know, they had Mayor Teresa Barrett was there, City Council Member Linda Fisher, School Board Trustee Joanne Paul, and then, of course, Caitlin Quinn, and on it goes. And also my friend Demetri Smith from the Sonoma County Commission on Human Rights. You know, I want to do a shout out for everybody that showed up because this is all volunteer time. You know, these people are not getting paid. They're not paid speakers. They're volunteers, and it's really amazing. It really is. Well, I want to do again a shout out that the 2019 1 Billion Rising campaign is going to be happening in Petaluma on February 14th. It's going to be at Mentor Me at 426 8th Street in Petaluma. They're going to have all kinds of dancing and all kinds of different workshops. It's going to be an amazing, amazing event. And also, they're going to be combined with the vagina monologues. And what's so fascinating about what's happening in Petaluma is that they're going to have one in English and one in Spanish. I mean, that is amazing. The vagina monologues in Spanish. That is absolutely so exciting to me that people who do not speak the English language can listen to some of the stories that these women have to tell. I myself was in the vagina monologues. I read a part called The Flood, and it was probably one of the most exhilarating experiences I had. I think we were the fifth one in the nation, and it actually happened in Petaluma. And I remember when the woman first called me, she says, Elaine, you want to be in the vagina monologues? And I remember thinking, vagina monologues? What, are they going to have my vagina talking on stage? You know. And then when I found out what it was all about, and it was really a liberating moment. Again, the secrets, the things we don't talk about. Well, you know, we just have a few minutes here, and what I thought I would do, is I'm going to just go, and I'm going to go into my little poetry book here, and I'm going to read a quick poem. Oh, my goodness. You're late. No, the show's over almost, my dear. I just have Rhonda coming in. I'm going to have to, hi, Rhonda, come on in, sit down for a second here. Hi there. How did this happen?
I don't know.
I'm so sorry, my dear. 11 o'clock is when the show goes on. Well, you're here.
I'm here.
Let's give a little
quick
plug.
Five.
We got 2 minutes. I've just been talking about the vagina monologues. Go ahead and talk, and we'll have you on again.
That sounds wonderful. I'm so sorry. So on February 14th, on Valentine's Day, we're having a 1 Billion Rising event. It's part of a worldwide event. We're having workshops, self-defense, meditation, traveling postcards, reinvention and recovery workshop. Those are all free. They go along with a presentation of 1 Billion Rising, which is Rick Taylor from Men Evolving Nonviolently, Molly McGregor, who is the co-founder of National Women's History Project. And then later in the evening, we have the Vagina Monologues in English, Spanish, and American Sign Language. All happening on the same day from 4:30 to 7 for 1 Billion Rising and from 7:30 to 9 for the Vagina Monologues.
And you can see all the information that we've just had on Women's Spaces at www.womenspaces.com. What is your hope? What is your hope for the Vagina Monologues? What is your hope?
That we raise a lot of money for Verity, our local nonprofit rape crisis center, and also human trafficking human trafficking course, and get more awareness to and violence against women and children.
How did you get involved, Rhonda?
I was a cast member. Actually, I started 20 years ago. I'd seen Eve Ensler, who wrote the Vagina Monologues, in San Francisco, performing the Vagina Monologues. And then 10 years later, Trisha Allman invited me to perform in it. And since then, it's just been something I do. I believe in this movement, the women's movement, and ending violence against women and children so much that I've dedicated a part of my world to it.
Well, and I'm so happy that you're going to be supporting Verity. And we'll have you on again. You know, we got a little bit of time. We have another week next week. You know, I'll talk about it at the end of the show. Anyway, I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank from the bottom of my heart Rhonda Black for coming in and talking about the Vagina Monologues. And we'll have a little bit more information on that. And also a special thank you to our two guests from Petaluma, talking about the Petaluma Women's March. And, you know, hey, you've been listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, January 28th, 2019.